Ooh, Freakonomics.
Day two of our Freakonomics week here with Stephen Dubler, co-author of the Freakonomics book and blog, and the new book, Super Freakonomics, Global Cooling, Patriotic Prostitutes, and Why Suicide Bombers Should Buy Life Insurance. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
As you can hear from President Obama speaking in Beijing, despite the sense of agreement in what he's saying, there's actually not a consensus among world leaders of what to do about global warming, but not so in Super Freakonomics. There seems to be a very strong consensus in your book that since we socially engineered ourselves into this carbon problem in the atmosphere, we can geoengineer our way out of it. And sulfur dioxide is one component of your solution to the global warming problem. Explain, could you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that this is the be-all and end-all solution. This
right.
is the only way out.
Right.
What we're saying is that, you know, kind of imagine that you build a house and you do everything you can to not have a fire in the house. You teach your kids to not play
right.
with matches. You put a screen on your fireplace. That said, you want a sprinkler system. And the question we're looking at is this. If the world is getting dramatically and dangerously hotter, what do you do to cool it down? And our answer is that carbon mitigation does not seem to be the solution for a variety
carbon
of reasons.
Carbon mitigation being the sort
reduction
of
burning less fossil fuel, essentially.
Right. Socially
right.
changing our behaviors on a huge scale.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then we do propose some geoengineering solutions that we think should be on the table. What's interesting about it, if you take a step back, you have to acknowledge this very, very central and important point. We've already geoengineered the Earth a lot. We've taken about 300 million years worth of accumulated carbon fuels and burned them in the space of a couple centuries.
But we didn't do it with one hose and one tailpipe. We did it with a lot of little, tiny little tailpipes. And your solution does call for one big sulfur dioxide hose in the atmosphere. Explain.
Right. So there's a portfolio of what you call geoengineering solutions. They're all over the map. The most repugnant one, the one that most environmentalists and most of us, most humans, would find repugnant is one that's called a stratoshield,
okay.
which means basically, yeah, you put a long garden hose to the sky, suspended on helium balloons, and spritz sulfur dioxide into the stratosphere.
Don't wreck our show, you hoser.
So sulfur dioxide
yeah,
at that scale in the atmosphere?
The reason for this, it's attempting to mimic what happens in nature with volcanoes. So when you have a really big volcano blow, the last really big one we had was Mount Pinatubo in
the Philippines
in 1991. And what it does when you have a really, you know, volcanoes are blowing up all the time, all over, putting sulfur dioxide in the atmosphere all the time. They don't often get their junk up into the stratosphere, which starts about 6 or so miles up above the Earth's surface, so usually in the troposphere, where it falls back more locally as acid rain. When you get it into the stratosphere, things behave differently at that altitude. The chemical mixes with the water vapor there and forms a kind of aerosol cloud that literally blankets the Earth. What that did after Pinatubo was cool the ground temperature by a matter of a degree or so for a period of 2 years. Now,
okay, sounds like a great lab experiment, but how can you do that on a planetary scale, and what kinds of cooperation would it require? And it could go terribly wrong.
Could go,
I mean, you could turn Cameroon into sulfur dioxide land.
Yeah, well, the science suggests, and again, you're absolutely right. The big problem is you can't experiment. It's one of the problems with talking about climate in general, kind of like talking about the macroeconomy in general. You only have one. And so whenever we try to predict what will happen to the macroeconomy or even describe what did happen, the big problem is you don't have experimentation. You don't have a bunch of conditions that you can examine. What the science suggests is that the amount of sulfur dioxide needed to do the job would be less than 1% of the sulfur dioxide that's currently being sent into the atmosphere by a combination of natural sources, volcanoes and salt spray, and man-made burning.
All right. I still don't get how you do it with one source, but suffice it to say
you'll
that
have to
scientists,
read the book, John.
Right. Well, scientists say that this is absurd and
insane.
And in fact, to dismiss social change as a way of dealing with carbon mitigation is just because it's too hard is irresponsible.
Well, some scientists say that it's absurd, and some scientists were testifying before Congress the other day, which held its first ever geoengineering hearings, to say we need to get geoengineering on the table, including a fellow that we wrote about in Super Freak named Ken Caldera, who's a very well-regarded climate scientist, but also the Royal Society of in the UK, which is comprised of, you know, some of the best scientists in the world, have put out essentially a white paper on geoengineering, arguing that, again, this needs to be on the table. Paul Crutzen, an atmospheric scientist who won the Nobel and who's generally called Dr. Ozone for his examination of how the ozone must be protected, came out and basically wrote an essay that many scientists hated. He said, look, of course it would be great if we could burn a whole lot less carbon. and we have grossly failed at that task. Therefore, we should be considering something like geoengineering. So I think it is a vast overstatement to say that scientists don't like the idea, because there are a lot of scientists, including climate scientists, who look to this as potentially the sprinkler system in your house that you need.
You know, having read the book, Stephen, and you know, you propose several solutions to several problems, the hurricane mitigation in the ocean and this particular hose reaching up into the stratosphere. And what occurred to me was that, you know, those, I mean, number one, the hose, you can shut it off if it's starting to have adverse effects. I started to wonder, why don't we try these things? How come every single experiment becomes an emotional and political issue on global warming? That it's all, Stephen Dudler, are bad. You're a bad man.
Very bad man. I'm an earth hater. Yeah.
You are. Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, I understand people's passion about the issue. I'm passionate about it myself. But why are you bad for proposing other ideas?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. One is, as John said, it's hard to experiment on the whole earth.
Right.
Which is why you look for natural experiments. Volcanoes being one. In fact, there are substances that would be probably better than sulfur dioxide, but we have the proof of working, and we have the proof of harmlessness in sulfur dioxide in the stratosphere after Pinatubo. In terms of why it's so bad, look, you got to realize there are a lot of people who spent a lot of time and invested a lot of resources, human capital and capital.
Right. I mean, there's a vested interest in this position,
absolutely,
in this carbon mitigation position. But have you changed your outlook because of the blowback you've gotten? Have you modified anything in the book as a result?
We changed one sentence. Uh-huh. Where one scientist who had been asked to vet the manuscript and did, and gave a lot of comments twice, later said that there was one sentence that he hadn't read well and wanted us to change it. So we did that. But in terms of the biggest result, I'd say is
very quick.
We argued that the movement to stop global warming has the feel of a religion. I think, if anything, we should strengthen that sentence, because what's been issued here is essentially a fatwa for entertaining alternate theories.
And the super freakonomics religion has no fatwas in its liturgy. And you can read the liturgy of super freakonomics in super freakonomics. Stephen Dudler is back with us tomorrow to talk about human nature. Stephen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Super freakonomics.
You hosers.